And I'm excited because we get the privilege of looking into God's scripture here, if my notes will work. There we go. And just seeing what it is that God has for us, right? We get to come to this part of a worship service, and we get to look in God's Bible and see how it is that he wants us to live, how it is that he wants us to be, how he wants us to act, and why that is, and God's love for us, and all those things are in there, and we get to explore that and look at that today. And we're going to do that. We're in a series right now where we're looking at values, the values that our church has. Our purpose and mission as a church, which comes right out of the Bible, of course, is to live like Jesus, grow together, and serve his kingdom. And the values that you see around here on these wooden crates and boxes and the things that we put down on paper is just the how to do that. The practical ways that we're gonna live our lives, the ways that we're gonna filter things out, and we're gonna say, yes, we're gonna do these things so that we might live like Jesus and grow together. We've done authenticity. We say we want to be authentic, like Christ followers, right? We want to be bold. We want to be, I've lost my train of thoughts, creative, excellent, right? Now we're talking about prayer today, and then we're going to talk about God's word and spirit, and then we're going to talk about others, which are all amazing values. So today, like I said, we're going to start with prayer. We're going to look in our Bibles, of course, to see that, but I want to do some practical things with prayer as well. So actually, because we're going to look in our Bibles, I'll invite the host to come forward with our host Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here this morning, you want one, just make eye contact with them. You can borrow one of ours. We'd love you to have that. But we're going to look in our Bibles about prayer. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is on page 970, if you get a host Bible. So you can turn there and see that. And I'll let you flip pages for a second, and then I'm going to invite us to pray together. If we're going to talk about prayer, we better practice praying. So I'm going to invite you to do something that I did as a kid, and if anyone in here is as old as me or older, then you did this in school, right? We recited the Lord's Prayer together, and we're going to do that today. So I'd invite you to stand with me. It's going to be on the screens, and we'll just pray together. All right? Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. All right, you may have a seat. A couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call later in the evening at about 6 or 7 o'clock from a fella asking if I knew any goalies that could come and play hockey with his group of guys that play shinny, which is just unorganized hockey. They all come together, they pick teams, and the way they go, and they play. He knew that I played hockey, wanted to know if I knew any goalies that could come. Before you check out on me, some of you who are going, oh, he's telling a hockey story, I don't know about hockey, or I don't like sports, stay with me, because this story has nothing to do with hockey. This story has everything to do with a very bad decision that I made, okay? So just stick with me. The story will get good. I realized quickly as I was talking to this guy on the phone that I didn't know any goalies well enough that I could get them that short notice. And then somehow I heard words coming out of my mouth, the bad decision, of course, that said, I guess I could play. I don't know what I was thinking that evening. So somehow the next couple of hours transpired. I got gear. I was at the arena. I was putting on this goalie equipment. If you know anything about goalie equipment, it's huge. It's uncomfortable. It's massive. And when you get it on, you're like this. And I waddled out to the rink. And I was thinking, man, I'm like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or like the Michelin Man or the Kool-Aid Man. Do you remember him crashing through walls? I was like, I bet I could do that in this outfit, right? And I'm all dressed up. And then they do this thing in hockey, it's called warm-up. And they shoot pucks at the goalies. And luckily for me, I don't mean this to mean any harm, but some of the guys aren't very good. So they missed or they shot little pucks that didn't hurt very hard. And then this one guy, who I know is as good, he shot the puck at me. And it was like a rocket. I don't even know if I saw it, and it missed me, which means he scored, but I didn't care. I was praising God because this is the moment where I was like, this is a bad decision. What am I doing here? And before I could even think all that, he was shooting again, and this time, bang, that puck hit me. And then that equipment that I was really mad about wearing, I was praising God for, because something amazing happened. It didn't hurt. It didn't kill me, right? That was a terrible, crazy decision in my life. But I addressed, and it worked. I want to look at our value of prayer as we have it written on our foundation document. It's going to be on the screen for you here. It says this. It's worded awesome. This is a cool one. It says, prayer. We dress for battle. We dare not do anything before we pray. I love that phrase. We dare not do anything before we pray. We saturate the life of our church with intercession, keeping a shield of prayer over our people and our mission. We believe prayer is like breathing for the believer, that it should be that natural for us if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We passionately wait upon God, calling on his name for supernatural protection, power, and provision. Isn't that cool? I think it's really awesome. I know we spent time putting that together, and we said prayer is going to be something that is foundational for our church. And if anything's going to happen, we need to pray our way into it, right? And we know that. But we do dress for battle, right? What's that mean? Well, I think it's like anything. Like, I dressed up to be a goalie. People dress up to go to church. You dress up to go on a date. You dress pretty much for any activity you do in life in preparation for what you do. And we say that we dress for battle when we pray, which means we're getting prepared. And today I want to talk about that, and I want to see, what are we getting prepared for? Do we actually get prepared? This is a really nice statement that we have up there, right? Awesome. Good as a church. But do we do this? And if we don't, then why? What? Or why don't we do it, right? And I want to look at that. I want to say this to you. Without blame or shame, I'm not trying to make anyone feel uncomfortable, whatever else, but I'm just going to say this. I know that some of you, the first time you prayed today was when Pastor Warren was praying for the families on stage here, right? I know that. I also know this, that might not have been the first time you prayed, because if you're anything like me, when someone gets up on stage in church and they pray, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to engage and pray along, right? I'll tell tales on pastors, I guess, even as pastors standing up front here getting ready for church. We might not pray along with what's going on. We might be thinking about other things, thinking about the sermon, or thinking what we need to say next, or thinking about the way things are going. So then I could say, well, maybe there's some in you that the first time you really prayed then was when we stood together and we just read the Lord's Prayer and we prayed that out loud together, right? We did that. And you're like, you're right, Blake, I prayed. And I say, okay, well, hang on a second, because I also know that I can stand up and I can recite words, but that doesn't have to be prayer, right? It doesn't have to sink into my soul. It doesn't have to register in my mind. I don't have to meditate on that. I'm not going to assume at all this morning that everyone in this room knows what prayer even is, right? For some of you, you're sitting here like, talking to God or something, I don't know, what is prayer? And I'm not going to assume that others who know what prayer is and know how to and have been praying for a long time even pray well or often. And again, I'm not saying that as shame or blame in any way. I'm just saying this is the way we are as Christians. So when we make a bold vision statement, we say we're going to dress for battle and we dare not do anything before we pray, I say, okay, well, we better back that up. We better figure this out. So my prayer, I've been praying all week for us, as a church, is that as we leave today, that we'd just be able to pray a little bit better than we did when we came in, right? That we would move forward in our prayer life, and that we would know what prayer is, how to do it, and that we'd have a really good reason why we do, right? So I want to look into Scripture and see if that'll help us out with that at all. because I think it does. If you haven't already turned to that passage in Matthew, go ahead and find it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. As you grab your Bibles, I'll also tell you that this same prayer is said in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 12, all right? And if we look at the gospel in Luke chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just explain it to you. And if you look at Luke as a chronologically written book, then it's very interesting that the disciples, the first thing they asked Jesus to do for them, or to teach them, sorry, the first thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them is how to pray. Now, this is kind of interesting to me because I think, okay, chronologically, what have they seen Jesus do so far? Well, they've seen him heal people. They've seen him forgive people from their sins. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him raise people from the dead. And the first thing they asked Jesus to teach them is how to pray. And I think, if I was there, I might have asked Jesus to teach me one of those other things, because those things seem pretty cool, right? I think they knew that, and I think they wanted to do those things, and I knew Jesus was going to teach them that too. But I think the reason they asked Jesus how to pray is because they knew that prayer was the start of all that. That when they looked at his life and they're like, Jesus, how is it possible that you do all these miracles? How is it possible you love all these people? They knew it was because he prayed to his Heavenly Father, to God, right? They knew because of that relationship that he had with God that he was doing all these things. They knew that Jesus prayed, right? He went off to solitary places. Sometimes they had to go find him because he was praying. They saw him pray. If you look in John's gospel, you see that he prays for the disciples. He prays actually for all of us as a church in the future as well. They knew that Jesus prayed, and they're like, that's the key to this. How do we pray? And they ask. So looking back in Matthew at verse 9 of chapter 6, I want to go through this and see if we can learn some stuff. How is it? Or sorry, I guess I'll just answer that question. The what? That's just communication with God. Okay? That's what they saw Jesus doing. That's what prayer is. Okay? Just hopefully you grasp that. And we'll see that here too. They asked Jesus, how do we pray? It's verse 9. This then, this is Jesus' words, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay? Why, Jesus? What's that all about? Well, the first thing we see there is some interesting stuff. He doesn't say God. He says, Father, right? Jesus is in such close relationship with his Father that it's tight like that. And he's saying that when we come to prayer, the first thing we should be noticing or acknowledging in our mind when we go to pray is that we're praying yes to the ultimate creator of the entire universe. But we're praying to a God that wants an intimate relationship with us. It's in this Bible, it says that he wants to love on us, okay? That's the first thing. That's an amazing thing. For some of us here, as I say Father, you think of your earthly father and you think, yeah, that wasn't a very good example. I don't know if I can trust God. No, don't think of that. Think of this as your heavenly Father. The one that doesn't come with any baggage or anything else. He doesn't hurt or anything like that. All he wants to do is love on you. Okay, so when we come to prayer, that's the first thing we can acknowledge. There's a God, and he wants to love on me. He wants to love on you. That's amazing, okay? Second thing there is hallowed be your name. Well, I didn't know what hallowed meant. I don't think I've ever said that out loud except when I'm praying the Lord's Prayer. So I had to look that up, okay? Hallowed means to make holy. Now, we're not necessarily making God holy. I don't think we can do that at all. We're not making God holy in prayer, but what we're doing is acknowledging that he is. Okay? We're not praying flippant prayers to some whatever. We're praying to someone who is set apart, holy, perfect, without sin. The Bible tells us that over and over. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says that there's angels flying around the throne room of heaven singing, holy, holy, holy. Let that land on you for a second. The fact that this holy Creator God wants to be your Father, have that kind of relationship with you, wants to love on you. And the moment that you acknowledge that in prayer, all that can happen, right? This is what's going on when we pray. All right, next. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now it shifts a little bit, right? We like the loved on part. Yeah, we're like, okay, Jesus, I'm with you. We want to pray. Jesus, I acknowledge you. You're awesome. God, you're holy. You want to love on me? Perfect. And then Jesus says, now tell him that it's about his will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. This is the surrender part, right? Which is hard. Absolutely hard. Sometimes it's really hard to trust God to say, okay, God, I'm praying and your will be done. This has been real in my life. I have a daughter who's here this morning. I won't point her out, but I'll tell you, she turned 13 today. That's kind of cool. She didn't want me to say that. She's probably embarrassed, but I feel like I have a right to do that as a dad, right? Dads, you agree with me? Yeah, all right, good. We can embarrass our kids, right? I don't know where she is. She might be over there somewhere. Anyways, my daughter Isabella, she came into our home when she was 7 months old because Isabella is adopted. Now, she didn't come as an adopted child. She actually came into our home as a foster child. So we were looking after her from 7 months old, probably for about 3 or 4 months. And, of course, growing to love on her, right? Or growing to love her. We loved on her. Our love for her is growing. And then if you know anything about fostering kids and adoption, all the rest, they come up for this court case often where it's now parents, biological parents. We call them in our home Tommy Mummies. You know, saying, yeah, I want to be with my child. I'd like them back. I want to go through the process. I want to figure that out, right? And, of course, we knew that was going to happen. We knew that social workers were going to be working on the other side of that, saying, no, you're too young. You're not fit to be a mother. You know, we think that someone else could do that job better. And we started to pray, Aaron and I, my wife, praying, okay, God, this would be awesome. Like, we love this little girl. Just let her stay in our home. Of course, we know that that would be best for her and all the rest. And then we were confronted with the very real reality of, is that what we should be praying? Would it not be best for a little girl to be with her biological mother? Do we even know that we'd be best parents if it didn't work out with a biological parent? Is there something else out there? Or somebody else out there. And we struggled with that. Because like I say, surrendering to God's will is not always easy. And we had to decide, could we honestly pray, God, your will be done. And I remember the first time we prayed that together. And we went, okay, we're going to pray this. And we said, God, trust this little girl to you. You put her in the right place. Now, fortunately, I guess for me, that worked out in my favor. She's in my home. She's 13. It's awesome. I love you, Belle. But that's a hard prayer to pray. But man, does it release some good stuff, right? If we trust that Heavenly Father that loves us so much, if we trust God, inviting His will and His kingdom to happen on earth can be very powerful. For us, for others, for a church, for anything. And I told you that I want to take some practical times and practice prayer today. So this is the one, or this is the first time I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to give you 1 minute of silence. And I want you, if you're willing to, you don't have to, but if you want to, I'd like you to pray like that. I'd like you to pray, Father, I just acknowledge right now that you're holy. And let you love on me. And then the hard part, God, your will be done. Your kingdom come in my life right now today. All right? So go ahead and do that. If you just want to read it, go ahead and read it. That works too. That's prayer, all right? So I'll give you 1 minute to pray. You can posture yourself however you want. You can pray with your eyes open. I told the 9 o'clock people, I said, don't look at me, though. That's kind of weird. But you can do whatever you'd like for a minute here. Go ahead and pray. right. Amen. So we've prayed. We've looked at God's word. We know that prayer is communication with this God that loves on us. And we've seen how to pray a bit. I want to continue on looking, how do we pray? Because Jesus wasn't done yet. So verse 11 now, okay? Jesus says, pray like this. Give us today our daily bread. And this is where we get excited, right? As Christians, as people who pray, we're like, okay, we've acknowledged God. We've said that he's holy, right? We've even surrendered our will to him. But now we get to pray for our needs and our stuff, right? Give us today, right? This is when we bring our requests to God. There's a little caution here, though. The word Jesus uses and what he says we need to pray for is bread. That's different than the iPod and car and health and strength and all those things that I thought I wanted to pray for, right? Often that list we bring to God is a lot like that list we bring to Santa Claus at Christmas time, right? It's like, God, I need some stuff, right? Ante up now, give me the goods, right? But that's not what Jesus says here. Jesus says that we pray for bread, that we ask God for provision, to take care of our needs. Again, that's an amazing thing that God does for us, that he promises to do that. And Jesus says, pray like that. Take your needs to God and let him provide. Next, we get forgiveness. This is verse 12. Jesus says, and forgive us our debts. And I think most of you, if you're like me, you realize you've probably sinned already today by the time you get to church. And you're like, okay, I need forgiveness, right? If you believe at all that God is creator of the universe, that he sent his son to die for our sins on a cross, and that he raised from the dead, giving us freedom to live, then you are get excited at this part, right? You're like, yes, I have no problem praying for the forgiveness of my sins. And it's an awesome privilege that we have to do that. The second part of the verse goes back to being a little harder. It says, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who trespass against us, or those who sin against us. This is where we get into a little bit of the why we pray. You see, because God wants us and invites us into this awesome relationship where he loves on us, but then he expects us to live that out and show that love and that grace and that support and that forgiveness to other people, right? And again, that's really hard, right? We have no problem saying, forgive my sins, but sometimes we have a hard time forgiving other people's sins. But I think when we think about this in a bigger picture, we realize that that's probably one of the most powerful tools we have as Christ followers to invite someone else to feel God's love or be part of that is forgive other people, right? To show grace. God gives us grace and we can turn around and give that grace to others. That's what's happening right here in this prayer, right? We're acknowledging God. We're surrendering our will to him. God's saying, I'll give you the provisions. You ask for them, I'll give them. And then I'm going to equip you to go and do some good stuff, right? And then verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We know that there is an evil one out there that wants to take us down. And we get to pray that God would help us in that. I want to say this right now. I was challenged by a friend of mine this week that, you know, we do things in church. Or we can even pray together. I'm going to get us to pray together in a moment again. And we can talk about prayer and we can talk about all these things. But it's easy here, right? This is where we're sheltered, we're protected. We can come here and be Christian people together. But the reality is that most of us leave this building and go into a world where there's non-Christians around us all the time. Most of you work with non-Christian people. Most of you go to school with non-Christian people. That all this stuff that we learn here in church and all these things that I'm teaching you right now even, they need to work in our real world or else what are we doing here, right? I think this temptation part is real, right? That when we go out into the world and we see everything around us, that we could pray and ask God to help us in that, to help us tomorrow at work, to decide which conversations we enter into, which ones we're a part of, what we say and do in those conversations, how we portray Christ, you know, is it kind of God might be ashamed of us some days? Or is it that we're out there loving on people and showing forgiveness and that kind of stuff? How is it, right? And I think when we talk about preparation, this is what the preparation is for real life. This is why we pray, so that we might be able to go into real life, make a difference in our world around us, right? What an awesome privilege to become able to come before God like that. All right, so I'm going to give you a chance to pray right now together. Now, this time, you're going to get mad at me because this is the awkward one. I'm going to get you to pray together as groups, okay? So either as friends or families could come together, or if you're not here with anybody, then I'd really hope that our church is loving and accepting enough that people would grab you and say, hey, be part of our friends or family and pray with us. And I want you to pray for these next few things here from verse 11 to verse 13. I want you to pray together as a group for God's provision for you, right? That God would take care of your needs. I want you to pray for God's forgiveness for your group. I want you to pray that God would enable you to forgive others that you need to forgive. And then that God would protect you as you go away from here into the real work world and the real world around you, that you'll be protected, that God would be with you, working through and in you, all right? So not everybody has to pray. Like I say, don't participate in this if you don't feel comfortable. I'm fine with that. If you do feel comfortable getting in a group, great. You don't have to be the person that prays. Maybe only one person in your group prays, or maybe a couple of you. That's fine. Whoever feels comfortable. But I'd like us to do this, because we believe that we're about to enter into, again, a conversation with God, not only for us, because prayer can be bigger than just us as individuals, but now we're praying for a group of us collectively. All right, so I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Go ahead. If you got to move around, that's all right. We're breaking the typical church stuff right now, all right? So go ahead and scramble up and pray. Take your Bibles with you, because you might forget what you need to pray for. So just pray through those verses, okay? I'll give you a little bit of time just to wrap up here. Amen. As you guys come back to me here, as we kind of do a chop and jump, I understand that's kind of maybe weird or uncomfortable. I just want to say this. I want to say this should be exciting for us, right? It should be exciting for us to be able to pray together, to have the opportunity to pray for one another, right? That as we do that this morning, we would understand, I hope that everyone understands that prayer is communication with God. And not only just, you know, a distant, far-off God that kind of spun the world into motion and now is sitting somewhere just waiting. No, a God that's very present, very intentional, and wants to have a relationship with us. So we would understand that that's what prayer is communication with Him. That He loves us so much, right? And we'd understand how to pray. And that if, for some reason, Well, I won't say some reason. That sounds bad. If you're anything like me and you forget, you got a brain that works like mine, then you can just go back into Scripture. You can find Matthew chapter 6 and you can read this again. You can go, okay, this is how I pray. And if you forget about Matthew chapter 6, you're like, I know the Bible says, then call me up. I'll tell you where that is. Okay? And you might have to rehearse this. This might have to go back. You might have to practice and pray more often. You might have to look at it and be reminded what prayer is and how to pray. But it's exciting stuff because this is where we get forgiveness of sins. This is where we get that love. This is, you know, where we interact with God and we get equipped and prepared to do things that God wants us to do. And that brings me to kind of the close here, and that is, that's a why, right? Because if I just give you what prayer is and how to do it, you go home from here and nothing may change, right? Because you're like, okay, looks good, right? But now, why do I pray? Why would we even do this? Why would you get up early in the morning? Why would you take time to pray before a meeting? Why would you pray before the things you do in your everyday life? Well, there's quite a few reasons. I think most of you would probably know a few. But I want to show you a couple of really cool scriptures here that I think show us really what's going on when we pray to some extent. Ephesians chapter 6. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. Ephesians chapter 6 is on page 1177 or 1177 in your house Bibles. And I want to read verses 10 to 20 for you. Now, some of you are going to see right away when you get to this passage of Scripture that the title is The Armor of God. Seems fitting, right? When we say we want to dress for battle, that we would put on the armor of God. That we would be prepared. But what are we being prepared for? If we're dressing for battle, what is that battle against? What is it that we're doing here when we're praying? Well, let's look at verse 10. It says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We know that the devil is real, and we know that he's scheming, and we know that tomorrow when we enter into our work world or our school world or whatever it is that we do, that these forces are real and they are against us as believers of Christ. The devil doesn't want in any way for us to be acknowledging God. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you acknowledging that God is holy in any way. And he definitely doesn't want you to be spreading that around to be infecting any other people with that thought process, right? So we pray to be prepared for that. We pray that when we go into our day, into our real lives, that God would have our backs, right? That we'd be ready to be protected against the devil's schemes. Not people, right? The devil. Here it is, verse 13. We'll continue on. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you catch that? That's an awesome promise. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. That we're being prepared so that we might not be stung or hurt by that. 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which we're going to be preaching about here next week. And then 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Sorry, all occasions, right? The Bible even says pray continually, that we're always being prepared. And that we can lift up our prayers and requests to God at any time. With this in mind, be alert, right? Be prepared and ready. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people as we just did it here as a church, right? That we might be able to pray for us and pray for believers all over the world that are struggling with the same things we are, that are living in the same world with the temptations and the battles and all the rest. That we would pray for those people. And then verse 19, why do we pray? Well, Paul says, pray for me, but we can just mean this us today. Also pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should, that as we go through our day, that we would be able to present and show people Christ wherever we go. We are praying and being prepared for battle, people. What an amazing thing. I hope that revs your engine and gets you excited. You go, we got a relationship with the awesome God of the universe. We can actually enter into life, be prepared by praying that he would help us. Keep us from the wrong and the sin and the stuff that would tear us down in this life, and make us and equip us to be people who can tell others about Jesus, who can spread this gospel all around. We'll look at one more passage of Scripture. I'll invite the band up. Look at Acts chapter 1. So you've got to go back in your Bibles a little bit. Page 1090 of Host Bibles. Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 4 to 8, and then we're going to flip to Acts chapter 2 and read the first four verses there. Why do we pray? Why is this important? What's the reason? What's it do for us? What's it do for others? What's it do for God? We're going to start at verse 4 here. This is Jesus' like last words to his disciples. He's getting ready to go to heaven, and he's telling them this. He says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And I feel like he's kind of saying there, hang on, guys, don't miss this, because here comes the good stuff. You want to know why we pray? You want to know why I want you to wait? Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then following verses, the disciples do this. They go ahead. They go to an upper room and they pray together and they wait for some time, actually. And then chapter 2 comes along at verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and as the Spirit enabled them. And I hope that you go home and read the rest of the chapter. Even if you've read it 1,000 times, read it and be refreshed, because this is the beginning of the church. Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses wherever you go. Guys, this is it. This is why we're dressing for battle. This is what it means to pray. that we pray, we get ourselves aligned with God, we acknowledge His holiness, we give Him our will, we invite Him to come into this world, and we say, use us to spread the gospel all over the place. 2,000 years, churches all over, God is doing this by His Holy Spirit through His people. That is why we pray. And I'm going to invite you to pray one more time before we sing our closing song. This time you can just pray by yourself. But I pray this time, instead of praying for yourselves or your small group, that you would just pray for our church. Maybe pray for the greater church. Maybe pray for, you know, us worldwide. That we would take this call to prayer and this challenge to have this relationship with God seriously. And that we would be a people prepared to do the Lord's work in this real world. Let's pray that together. And let's just ask God to set our souls on fire, that we might just be filled more with Him, right? That we would be excited by Him and readied by Him. Let's pray that together, and then we'll sing together.